What's up, guys? I'm Calla.
And I'm Charlotte.
And welcome to Let's Talk. In this podcast, we're playing the role of the older sister. We're going to be using our experiences to hopefully help you in any questions and experiences that you're going through.
In our first episode, we'll be talking about confrontation.
So our first question is, how do I stand up for myself in awkward situations?
I think one of the key things about confrontation and standing up for yourself and others in awkward situations is keeping in mind the empowering aspect of it. Like, there's definitely a reclaiming of power, because when someone is criticizing you in a way that makes you feel bad, or saying something or acting in a certain way that might hurt you or someone that you care for, or just anyone near you, they're kind of taking you or that person's power. And there's a real reversal of that when you say, hey, that wasn't cool, and you know, I respect you as a human being, but I really wish that you didn't do that. I think just keeping in mind the empowering aspect of it too is really helpful for me, even though Lord knows I have a long way to go on this issue.
No, same. And I think, like, what's hard for me is that oftentimes when I'm in environments where I'm not feeling confident in myself, that makes it even harder to be able to stand up, just because I'm already feeling kind of at a low. And so I think just being aware of that, and being aware of when, you know, I may not be the best at this, I may not be at my complete 100% in this moment, but I still deserve to be respected and treated fairly by people.
It's important to be aware.
Yeah.
Situation. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I think it's just important to really be aware of the times where you may not be feeling confident in yourself, but that doesn't mean that people can, like, walk all over you, you know, and you still have the power, like Charlotte was saying, to stand up for yourself or stand up for someone else.
Absolutely. So our second question, well, it's not really a question, but our second audience member response is, I'd also like to learn about how to be more expressive and friendly. This is something that I was thinking a lot about over the summer, over last summer, because I was thinking about becoming more of myself and getting to know myself and expressing myself more. And I started by sort of imagining the times when I wasn't being myself as myself, like wearing a mask, sort of, not a COVID mask, but like a full on face mask. And I would imagine myself taking off the mask whenever I noticed that I wasn't being myself. And I would, like, literally untie it on the back of my head and remove it and set it down next to me. And doing that really intentional action made me, like, really helped me. But the thing that you have to do even before you do that is be mindful of when you are not being your total and complete beautiful self. Because everybody does it. We all hide ourselves. We all sort of change based on what we assume people want us to be like. But, you know, you're never going to assume the right thing about people ever. And there's no reason that you should hide yourself to try and please someone else, because you should put yourself first. So I think being really intentional and being really mindful about when you're doing that and catching yourself doing it, and then trying to actively stop it, is sort of at least how I thought about it over the summer.
Totally. And on the flip side of that, I think acknowledging the people that you're around when you're being your true authentic self and you're, like, the most outgoing and the most expressive is really important too. Like, I know for me, when I was at a previous school, I was two different people. There was one where I was, you know, around my family, around my closest friends I've known forever. And that was a person that I really loved and was, like, my true self. And then at school, I was sort of like this different persona that was more shy. And if you know me, you know that I'm not shy, but very shy, very reserved, and stuff like that. And so I think being aware of who you're around that truly make you feel like you're allowed to be that expressive, authentic person is really important, because those are the people that you should spend the most time with. And it's so much more freeing to be able to be your absolute true self. And so I think spending time with those people who allow you to do that as much as possible is really important, and will also, like, train your brain to always be like that, even if you're, you know, with new people that you may not know before.
Yeah. And if you just are listening to this and you're like, wow, I have no idea who I am, then, you know, think about the things that you do that make you feel the happiest. and try and do those more. I feel like that's where we find who we are, is when we're doing the things that inspire us and make us as happy as a clam, basically. And like, you know, that might mean like baking, that might be hiking, that might be watching TV shows, that might be whatever. But if you sort of are really mindful about the feelings that you're feeling while you're doing those things, and, you know, maybe ask your closest friends, like, who do you think I am when I'm being happy, and who do you think I am, and what are my qualities, then that can kind of help you sort of start that process.
Preach. And I think also too, just on the part about being more expressive, I think just understanding, like, a lot of times, at least for me, I go into my shell a little bit more when I think people are like paying attention to me. And this is what I've learned, is like, no one really is paying attention to you. Like, everyone is so wrapped up in, like, absolutely, am I being looked at, you know? Like, everyone's worried about that. And so I think, you know, you don't have to hide to fit in or be comfortable. You know, no one's judging you outwardly. Everyone's so worried about being judged. And so I think not only should you be able to be more open and not afraid of people's judgment, but also if you're able to do that, it will encourage everyone around you to also be more open too, and not be fearful of being judged as well. And so we worry about being expressive because we think that we're going to be judged. But if you create this, like, what's it called when you're...
community, a tribe.
Yeah. You'll foster this tribe around you that feels the same way and allows you to be open and allows everyone else to be open. And I think that's really important too.
Yeah. And the people who usually judge you in mean and disarming and outward ways are typically the people that are the scaredest of being judged.
It's so true. And just acknowledging that, I think, is really important. And our last question for this episode is, how do you confront the people you love? And I feel like in that question, it already makes me like so anxious, because it's like, you love them. And so you don't want to ever like hurt them or, you know, make things weird between you. And I feel like confrontation has such a negative connotation. That sounds like it rhymes, but it doesn't. But like, I don't know, kind of like how that sounds. But it has such a negative connotation because it sort of means that you are angry with someone. And I think what's just really important to remember is that you're confronting because you love them. And if you didn't care about someone, you wouldn't even bother to say, you know what, that really wasn't a good thing to say, or that really hurt my feelings, because their opinion wouldn't matter to you, you know, if you didn't love them. And so I think just knowing that is really important.
Yeah. And just, you know, come from that place of love and come from that place of knowing that it's not going to ruin the relationship. It's not going to like make things awkward forever. It's just a blip in time. I mean, if you really think about how many things you've done with your friends and your family and all of the experiences that you've had, one little confrontation is not going to be a huge blip on your friendship and familial map.
Yeah. And I used to be like so afraid of confronting people. Like, when I knew me and another person were in a bad place, like, and I knew we were going to have this conversation, I would avoid it at like all costs. Yeah. Like,
so
if
hard.
We were at school, oh my God, like, I would pretty much avoid and hide from you until the moment where we had to have a conversation, you know? And so I think what I've learned is that it's never as bad or intense as you think it's going to be. Honestly, if anything, maybe you are a little bit annoyed for a day or two. You know, maybe that person's like feels a little bit upset, you know, that you confronted them and, you know, called them out on something. But if that bond is really strong and you really have like mutual love and respect for each other, it will go back, you know, to the way it was, and not even just go back, like, it will be better than what it was, because now you have developed this, you know,
mutual respect with each other.
Mm-hmm. You've developed this respect and the sense that, hey, I can come to you and you can come to me, and we can, you know, disagree and kind of call each other out, but we're only doing it out of love and to make each other better people. So any negative effects that you may experience are definitely short term if, you know, you really love each other. You know, you won't let a conversation break that bond, you know?
Yeah. So for our last section of this episode of the podcast, we're introducing a little tradition that we're going to have every podcast episode, where we share a little anecdote with you. So this week we have an anonymous quote about confrontation, and it reads, "You can't change what you refuse to confront."
Thank you so much for listening. We really appreciate all the questions that we got for this episode. And make sure to stay tuned for episode 2, and we will see you in the next one. Bye.
Bye.